Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, with a series win over the St. Louis Cardinals and Hunter Goodman show. It's on the road in Missouri. Incredible final two games of this set. I promise you some minor league coverage. I'm going to talk plenty about Ethan Holliday before previewing this Diamondback series, but Wednesday's 6-5 win, a big one, coming on the heels of a 3-0 shutout performance in St. Louis to snap an 8-game losing streak. Now, all of a sudden, they've got a nice 2-game win streak coming back home for 8 games against the Diamondbacks and Los Angeles Dodgers. But this game, late, it looked like a typical Rockies game where they trailed early on, 2 runs in the second inning. By the time Austin Gomber was finished with his 5 innings of work, he was charged with 5 runs. The worst performance, look, in some ways, because we know what can happen when Austin Gomber is not himself, when he's just not at his best, and unfortunately he just hasn't been that way this year. 5 innings, 5 runs, sometimes you might take that. Certainly wasn't as good as what Freeland did on Tuesday night or Dolander did on Monday night, but it kept Colorado in the game because he exits. It's 5-2. They chip away with a run in the 6th, with a run in the 7th. Kyle Karros, 2-for-3 on the day with a walk. 3 runs scored, all critical. The rookie now has hits in 5 of his first 6 games, batting .333 with an .893 OPS. But Warren Schaefer choosing to mix and match, and really, in this instance, just giving Hunter Goodman the day, because we're in the dog days of summer now, in the first season as a primary catcher for Hunter Goodman. Even in the minor leagues, he wasn't an everyday catcher or a majority catcher or really much of a catcher at all, because his bat was so gifted, so talented, that he was always 1 to 2 levels beyond where his glove was at. And so he just hasn't had that opportunity. And the Rockies are trying to minimize that workload for him behind the plate. So you did not see him in that starting lineup. Freeman at the top, Moniak, Tovar, Beck. And you got a lot of production out of this top four of your lineup, which is something I don't think we've really seen a ton out of the top of the Rockies lineup. There's been a lot of games this year where, even earlier in the series, where it was the bottom of the lineup that was coming through and providing the offense. But Freeman goes 3-for-5. Mickey Moniak, 2-for-5, delivered a key solo home run in the 6th inning. His 18th. How about that? Mickey Moniak, did you really think he was going to be hitting 20 home runs this year? Maybe even 25 home runs this year? He's getting there. He's on that pace. Tovar, 1-for-4. Beck, 2-for-4, only 2 RBI between that top part of the order. All of the production came from behind the plate. 2 great professional ABs, or really 4 great overall professional plate appearances by Braxton Fulford. Drove home 2 runs in this game. And then, with Goodman being a valuable weapon off the bench, you hope to stay close. It's very much like your 8th or 9th inning reliever, your closer. You want the game, you need the game to be close, and then you can maybe take an advantage and hold the other team when your offense can come up and do something. But in this case, it was the reverse. The bullpen was holding it down. Another scoreless frame from Nick Anderson in the 6th. Jaden Hill, a scoreless frame. Jimmy Herget, he had a scoreless 8th inning, 2 strikeouts. And then Victor Vodnik, no issues, does not allow a base runner for his 4th save of the year. And because of that, Rockies down 1. Warren Schaefer looks to his bench, goes to Hunter Goodman, who clobbers 1 to left field, his 24th home run of the season. Now has 68 RBI, and it's really looking likely that Hunter Goodman is going to set a new primary catcher record or most home runs by a Rocky. It was 28 in 2012 by Willian Rosario. In fact, already Goodman and Rosario from that 2012 season are the only pair of catchers in franchise history to have a season with at least 100 or more hits 45 extra base hits and 20 or more homers. Goodman, since June 1st, you've seen a lot of the numbers about Mickey Moniak being great since June 1st. Well, Hunter Goodman is right there entering Wednesday's game, 283 batting average with a 620 slug, 16 homers, 35 RBI in 48 games, ranked second in the majors in slugging behind only Nick Kurtz, who's at 698. So even with a one for one day, and it was a big one for that one, the home run, but right behind Nick Kurtz. So Hunter Goodman not falling off after the All-Star break. That is one of the best things that could possibly happen with the Rockies. Feels like we've seen it time and time again where someone performs for half of a season or for 2 months of a season, and you begin to get excited and say, okay, this guy can really be something. This guy is an all-star or can be an all-star. And then the wheels fall off. The league adjusts to that player and they lose that spark. And maybe they're able to get it back for another 2 months or so. It's happened time and time again. I honestly can't think of a Rockies player that has gone beyond that 2 month mark, maybe even 2.5 month mark of being very consistent. Goodman may be one of the first to do it since, I don't know, Trevor Story in 2020. It's been very rare for a Rocky to be able to sustain this kind of success at the plate. And Goodman has absolutely done that. He hit one on Tuesday night up to Big Mac Land. I think he kind of turned it into Good Times Burgers and Burgers and frozen drinks. I don't know. It's a Colorado brand. I don't know if you saw that over on social media. If you appreciated the fact that I turned it into a Colorado burger company, but I did that. Maybe a little too subliminal, but a 3-0 win for the boys in purple pinstripes, snapping the losing streak exactly off at 8 games, the fifth time that they have done that this season. Absolutely remarkable. And what was remarkable about this game was Kyle Freeland. Freeland going 7 innings strong. His first start back at full strength. Like, he made the one last week where he was still kind of recovering a little bit. In fact, his start got pushed back a day. So Molina ended up coming in and starting against the Blue Jays. But Freeland goes out there, pitches into this 8th inning. So 7 1/3 innings pitched. 5 hits, no runs allowed, only walked 2, struck out 2. And what that says to me is Kyle Freeland, at this point in his career, and, you know, frankly, he's always been this kind of guy, but he is a crafty veteran. He is a guy that has never relied on overpowering stuff. And now, more than ever, he is pitching to contact and he is pitching efficiently to contact. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be those clunkers in there for Freeland. But we do see it more and more that he has this ability to step up, perform. You know, the consistency is the one piece that you would like to see more out of Kyle Freeland. But in a rotation right now that doesn't have any stability and won't have any next year either. I mean, take a look at the starting rotation for next year. Gomber's a free agent, and even if he were to return, which I think there could be a chance, Marquez, free agent after this year, might be able to return. Did those guys have a stable year this season? Marquez certainly more so than Gomber, but I wouldn't call it stable success. Dolander, still young. He needs guys to lean upon. Tanner Gordon, sure, he'll be 28 next year, but he has not been consistent, and he is someone who still needs to lean on and rely upon certain veterans. So Kyle Freeland's value right now in this rotation is going to be a lot more than his win-loss record. I said it a couple days ago. There's no way that Kyle Freeland's going to end up losing 20 games. And sure, this is nice. He obviously didn't take the loss. He got his third win of the season. But I think this is a guy that the Rockies need now. And like a lot of the Rockies' older players over the last few years, their value is more about what they're able to bring off the field, those certain intangibles. So, you know, Freeland, 5.18 ERA. He's had some clunkers, and yet you go, All right. I mean, over the course of a full season, if you're going to make close to 30 starts and you can keep it in the maybe high fours right now with everything going on in this organization, I think you take that. And I think it's a rare thing right now for the Rockies to get that kind of a performance out of a starting pitcher. Vodnik gets the final five outs of the game, strikes out three in the process. So he goes back-to-back saves, which was pretty critical. And the only other RBI coming from Kyle Tucker. So good for Kyle Tucker in a rare start at second base, getting a couple things done there. He's had a very strange season, to say the least. Played 80 games, only scored 19 runs. Think about that. 14 doubles, 5 home runs. So essentially, he's only scored when he hits an extra base hit. It's either going to be a home run. Okay, that's 5 of the 19 runs. And that leaves 14 times that he's scored a run, and he's had 14 doubles. So the 14 walks don't mean much of anything. And the 33 or so singles that he's had this year, they've meant also absolutely nothing as far as producing runs for this offense. Not his fault. He can't drive himself in, although he did 5 times with those 5 home runs. Other series notes that's worth mentioning, Mickey Moniak in that lineup on Monday. He was the oldest player in the lineup at 27 years and 90 days per Elias Sports Bureau. The last time the Rockies lineup had a player younger than Moniak as the oldest player in the lineup, it was, let's take you back, 2012, Chris Nelson. That's right. The just before the Nelson era was going to end to make way for the Arenado era, it was Chris Nelson. And since 2013, the Rockies have had no position player age 28 or older in their starting lineup only 4 times. 3 came in the last 4 games. That's it. All with Moniak as the oldest player. The only other time, and I need to pull this lineup up off of the computer here, because it was August 3rd, 2021. So that would have been the final, Trevor Story's final game of the season. Oh, I guess it is. So that means Trevor Story's final game with the Rockies was not a final game. He just didn't play at all in his final game. I did not remember that. I know he had played in his final game at Coors Field, and that was a disappointing one because it was raining and a lot of people had went home, didn't stick around after the rain delay. We were still in somewhat pandemic protocol, so the Rockies didn't go around to really wave to everybody in the normal way that they do or slap five. So talking to Story, you know, getting choked up on that Zoom call like that, I was not great. So there was more season after that, apparently. Crazy to think about. So the oldest player in the lineup, let's see if you can figure out who the oldest player was in this lineup back in October 3rd, 2021. It was on October 3rd, 2021. Raimel Tapia, Garrett Hampson, Brendan Rodgers, Ryan McMahon, Sam Hilliard, Colton Welker, Jonathan Daza, Dom Nunez, Ashton Godot was the starting pitcher. How many people were geeked up by that starting lineup saying, we're young, we're going to be good. I saw some of these guys in the top 30 prospects in the last year or two. We're going to be great. No, unfortunately not. I'll talk more about that one. I definitely will talk more about that tomorrow, about farm system rankings and how I think specifically for the Rockies and Rockies fans, they need to be taken a lot more seriously. I think all fan bases need to take farm system rankings a little bit more seriously, because if it's poor, they're going to say there's bias against us and it's actually better than it is. And if it's really good, well, I mean, you're going to get hyped about it. So I guess if it's really good, you've got no issue. But go back and look. And in fact, you won't have to. You just listen to tomorrow's podcast because I'll break it down. But the oldest player from that lineup, October 3rd, 2021, it was Raimel Tapia. Yes, absolutely. 27 years and 241 days old. How about those Padres? I just want to touch on the fact that they've got a series coming up with the Dodgers this weekend in LA, and now the Padres have pulled ahead. I told you they were going to be a problem, and this is going to be really fun. I would almost prefer this series to have been in San Diego, since I think it can be a little wilder there. I mean, Dodger Stadium is always very passionate. It's always very loud. But in San Diego, it's wilder because they are the little brother. Speaking of little brothers, good segue, Patrick. Thank you. Ethan Holiday impresses. That's right. Makes his professional debut on Tuesday. Now, over the weekend, I went to Barnes & Noble. I used to work at Barnes & Noble, believe it or not, long, long time ago when I was in college. And I'm surprised I'm not banned from there, but I'm still allowed to go in. I prefer a small local bookstore, but it was in between points A and B. We popped in a little bit, see what was going on as I walked by the magazine rack in the process of trying to get away from baseball a little bit. In the middle of the baseball game, I did a double take. I go, Ethan Holiday is on the cover of a magazine, not even wearing a baseball uniform. He's on the cover of Men's Health. An 18-year-old young man is on the cover of Men's Health. Good for him and his talent agency. When was the last time you can remember Rocky on the cover of a magazine? Think about that. Sometimes even those fantasy baseball preview magazines that come out, was it Smith & Smith? They won't even have a Rocky on the cover. And it's like, hey, man, this is supposed to go out to Colorado. This is going out to our region here. And they'll have a Diamondback on the cover instead or a Dodger. But I can't remember. There's not a lot of magazines that have had Rockies on the cover. Chip Francis, of course, in 2007, but very rare. Also, who's looking at magazines these days? I don't know. Reach out to me at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons, MLB and the Rockies Insider on YouTube. Rockies on the cover of a magazine. Weird. All right. So the Arizona Complex League ended at the end of July. And this was something I had in my notes, which I'm going to get to, but what do you do with the 2025 draft picks since there's no Arizona Complex League anymore? The league ended earlier than ever before this year. Well, they did what was called a bridge league or a continuation camp. These are unofficial names, and I don't believe it's anything that fans can necessarily attend. I think you can show up at them, but it's not anything where you need to buy a ticket. These are on backfield games. How are you going to know about them? You're not. They don't necessarily want you to show up. They don't need for you to show up. If you show up, great. And I'm sure they'll sign autographs for you too. But it's not that important. But these continuation leagues, if you will, Nick Kurtz, Christian Moore, Jack Heglione, last year, all three of those guys, after they got drafted, before debuting in the majors this year, they played there last year. Now the Rockies are in what they're calling continuation camp. The Bridge League is sort of the West's part of the Sun Valley, but it helps limit travel. And on the east side, the continuation camp, Giants, Angels, Cubs, D-backs, A's. But that doesn't matter because none of these backfield games anymore for Ethan Holiday. He made his professional debut on Tuesday with the low A Fresno Grizzlies, wearing number 18, batting second, starting at shortstop, singled in his second ever professional AB. Later would add a double, so goes 2-for-4 with a double, one strikeout in a league, California League, where the average player was over 3 years older than Ethan Holiday. So we're talking about a recent high school grad playing against essentially college juniors. That's where Ethan Holiday is at. And he's off to a really good start. Tomorrow, I will dig more into where he ranks in the top 100, where he ranks on the Rockies list. Spoiler, it is number one. As I said, was going to be ahead of Charlie Condon, despite Condon starting to play a lot better. He absolutely is starting to play a lot better, but there are some holes. There are some flaws. I will talk about that tomorrow. Let's preview this Arizona series. Four games against the D-backs before four weekday games against the Dodgers. Are you going out to any of those? I got some parents in the audience. It's going to be hard with kiddos now back at school. That's going to be tough. We've got three probables that are known and then a pair of to be announced, but I think I know who's going to be starting in this D-back series. It's going to be Bradley Blaylock against Eduardo Rodriguez, the left-hander, on Thursday at 6:40 p.m. at Coors Field. Friday, also 6:40, you got Tanner Gordon, 2-5 with his 8.37 ERA against Brandon Pfaadt, who's now 12-7. With a 5.03 ERA. So we're just doing rematches right now. And then Chase Dolander on Saturday, 6:10, a little bit earlier, against Ryan Nelson, the righty, 6-3, 3.46 ERA. He's quietly been a strong point for that rotation that's really taken a beating this year, has really taken a hit, taken a step backwards. And then on Sunday, Zach Gallen, no, you're not going to get a chance to see Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen gets saved from Coors Field just a little bit. I think the probables are going to be Kyle Freeland against Anthony DeSclafani. If I'm reading the tea leaves correct, that's what I see lining up for that. Do also want to make sure I give a tip of the cap to Zach Veen and Sterling Thompson in AAA, both playing really well. With the way that the Rockies have been doing their transactions and giving a few more opportunities to young players, it wouldn't surprise me to see either of those guys during this homestand in Colorado. Veen already on the 40-man roster. He's hitting 30 of his last 34 contests, slashing .369 with a .423 on base and a .596 slug in his last 34 games. So that work that he did at the lab really helping out. Only problem, of course, is the fact that there's not really room right now in the majors. You could have Yankiel Fernandez go back down to get regular playing time. I think we've got an opportunity for him to be able to show what he can do and show what he needs to work on. So that right there could be an easy switch. And then Sterling Thompson is going to be harder to find room for, but he is knocking on that door. Warren Schaefer said the Rockies need to listen more to those players who are knocking. And so Sterling Thompson has been really good since July 1st, batting average over .300, on base over .400, slug over .500, 16 RBI in 27 games entering this week of play. And so Thompson is one of those players who needs to be protected on the 40-man roster or else he will be exposed to the Rule 5 draft. He's a strange one since he doesn't have a true position. He is not a strong defender anywhere right now, unfortunately. And so between him and Yankiel Fernandez, do you have one DH bat? You have a platoon DH? Maybe. I don't think that's how they're going to proceed going forward. But nevertheless, Sterling Thompson is a player that I strongly believe is going to debut and could be number 13, setting a new franchise record for most players making their major league debut for the Colorado Rockies in a single season. That's going to happen, guaranteed. We're going to see at least two more debuts. I feel confident, probably three. And if I really squint hard enough, I can probably find a fourth. So I'm gonna say four is what we're going to end up hitting, 16 debuts this season. But if you go back and look at that starting lineup from August 3rd, 2021, there were a couple debuts in there. There were a couple young players in the early parts of their career just because they're young and they're debuting. And even though they got their whole career ahead of them, is that going to be a good career or not? Look, maybe that's why we need to watch these games. That's why we need to do more research on these prospects. Listen to the prospect pundits on what are some of the flaws and some of the weaknesses of these players. And if you do look at what MLB Pipeline has to say about the Colorado Rockies and their farm system, they are struggling. So the odds are against the Rockies and the odds are against some of these players panning out. But that is part of the fun of being a fan, is saying, hey, against all hope, despite this guy not being rated very highly, ranked very highly, I think this guy can really be something. Not just a piece, not just a piece, but something. That's the best part of being a fan, right? Watching that and seeing how it plays out over the years. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB and Rockies Insider on social media. That's where I'm playing things out, as well as the Rockies Insider on YouTube. Got to make sure you check that out. Look at some of those evergreen videos or YouTube shorts, conversations with Charlie Condon, Jared Thomas, you name it. Take a look at that. Like, share, subscribe, do that whole thing. Appreciate you dropping by. Appreciate the momentum. But momentum, as I like to say, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.